welcome to the USEA's official podcast. My guest today is Susan Graham-White, who is the chair of the Future Event Horse Committee. Susan, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Well, you have become very involved with this program, Susan, and as the chair, obviously leading this to the future. And we want to talk about how it is impacting the sport generally and what the benefits are to this program and to the rest of the sport. So let's start, if you would, by giving a little overview of what the aims and objectives are of it.
The aim and objective of it is mainly through education. Our hopes are that we can teach not only breeders but competitors. And when we talk about breeders, we're talking about people that are breeding, you know, very seriously with breed farms, but also the backyard breeder. And we're just trying to educate people about what an event horse type is, a triathletic horse, and what bloodlines sort of create that mix, and what type you're looking for to create an event horse. We're finding that people are sometimes a little, you know, they're breeding their horses and maybe for event horses, but they're maybe not thinking in terms of an upper level event horse. So we're also trying to show them the difference between what might be more appropriate for the low level event horse or the upper level event horse, as far as, again, type, frame, breeding, that sort of thing. And along the lines, we're hoping that people will get a chance to learn about handling young horses and what they can do with them. We'd love to give a lot of exposure to our breeders that they can get their young horses out to be seen, whether it's just that they're going to keep them and they want them, you know, just to have an early show experience to help them later, or whether they're for sale and they want to get them out there and promote them or promote their breed program or their stallion.
Now, this, of course, is modeled on the European version, the British version of the young event horse, which grew in amazing popularity at Burley, particularly, where they hosted that originally, and has encouraged a lot of event riders to go through that program of that young event horse, or as we use it here, the future event horse. That is the model you've used, isn't it?
We have taken a lot from that, yes. I think that they are certainly, you know, further along than us because we are at a very developmental phase. But we're definitely always looking at what they're doing because they've done such a good model for us to look at.
Certainly has raised the bar. Well, I want to talk a little bit about how it's benefited the rest of the sport and helped the rest of the sport to grow. But let's just explain where you can get involved, Susan, and where those events are to participate in the FEH program.
Well, we're constantly adding new venues for the FEH, and we have actually an FEH Facebook page where that's become quite active with people that are coming on and requesting more of these events to happen in different areas of the country. So right now, I believe if you go on the USEA website, you can actually look at a map on there, on the FEH page, that will show you where they're being held. And we're trying to get more of them, and particularly in the central states, and Area 8 is an area that are really asking us for shows, and we're working with some of the organizers there to get more competitions there. But anybody interested just needs to go on the USEA website, go to the FEH page on there, and you'll find all the information you want. You'll also find information about what's expected in competition and, you know, listings of all the rules and all that sort of thing.
Okay, so let's move on then to the bigger picture, Susan, of what this has mm-hmm. actually done to benefit the sport.
Well, what it's already done is got people really thinking about, you know, I'm breeding an event horse, which honestly wasn't even talked about some years ago. You had people that bred for jumping, you had people that bred for dressage, but you really didn't have people specifically breeding for eventing. And we're starting to see that now. And that's what we're very much hoping for. We're also looking at people are coming to our seminars who are just educating themselves as riders as to how to pick a good young horse. So we're just finding a lot of angles that people are interested in. Our seminars always have so much information about conformation and about the developmental stages with a young horse, so that if you're looking at, for instance, a yearling in comparison to a three-year-old, you know, what you're looking at differently. So we're hoping that this will help people that might not have the money to buy a three-year-old, that maybe says, well, but I could buy a yearling and I could wait on it and have it in my backyard, you know, to make a better choice for the sport. And it also definitely has given a lot of people a great venue to enjoy their young horses themselves. I have a number of people that, you know, just love that they have a chance to take this youngster out and actually show him and have a good time with him and do things with him. And then by the time he's old enough to be under saddle, he's so much further ahead. And he's just a better horse for it, for competition early on.
Well, there are so many aspects to it, aren't there, Susan, in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, learning about conformation and defects and defaults and what is good conformation mm-hmm. and what, of course, the bloodlines is another issue, but also the movement, how the horse's action, what they should be educating themselves to look for. There's a lot they can do in terms of conformation by educating themselves at home, and then they can come to a seminar and then get a wider appreciation of really what they should be looking for when they breed. So there's really almost two different elements to this, aren't there?
Yes, and I've already had, even in our region, two different breeders that have said, after coming to our first seminar, have contacted me and said, you know, after what I've learned, I'm going to be looking at my breed program and probably making some adjustments. And I thought, well, there you go. That's, you know, that speaks volumes for what we're trying to get out there. Pool of good horses that we have out there for everybody.
Right, because you've got the buyers and you've got mm-hmm. the breeders, haven't you? So you're trying to really educate both, because those buyers may have mm-hmm. gone to Europe in the past, or there may be obviously a population that have never been exposed to European eventing or breeding mm-hmm. programs, or had the opportunity to see what happens mm-hmm. over there. So they're really relying on us to educate them.
Yes, and especially since we go up to three-year-olds, because the three-year-old is such a special age, as we all know, where you've got this horse that finally is really at a stage you know so much of who he is at that age. He's already ready that if you want to start him going a little bit, you know, you can do things with him. You're seeing all that potential to become a riding horse at four. And if you get a three-year-old out there, if you're somebody that's a breeder and you're presenting your three-year-old, it gives you a great marketing tool if you're trying to sell it. On the other hand, if you're looking, so for an upper-level event rider, particularly one of the things we're doing this year is to hold the championships at two of the big events. The East Coast are going to be at Fairhill International, the same as the YH will be. They'll be on the Wednesday before. But one of the things that I was excited about doing that is that, again, especially with the three-year-old group, it gives a chance for the people who have those three-year-olds there. There are a lot of professional riders that are going to be there, a lot of amateur riders, just a ton of serious riders that are going to be there that could come and look at your three-year-old if it's for sale. On the other hand, if you own a three-year-old but you don't want to sell it but you need a rider for it, it's a great place for you, again, to match up and find somebody maybe to move your horse into the YH and into becoming a 4 or 5 year old later on and do that division.
So the long view really is that eventually you hope that people are going to be, there'll be such a pool here of mm-hmm. event horses that are bred in the U.S. that you've established a really sound foundation, and that these could be horses that would be sold to Canada and to South America and so on. I mean, and maybe to Asia, I mean, if the program built up. But I'm sure that's probably the very long view, is it?
Well, that would be a very long view. The closer view is just that we can breed horses good enough here that when somebody is looking for a top event horse prospect, that they don't necessarily run to Europe to buy it. They can find that quality right here, and that that many of the bloodlines, perhaps, that they're looking for, there are some of them here. I mean, that's pretty much what has happened in the dressage world, and there's no reason that can't happen on the event side as well. We have so many great horses here already. We just need to, like I said, educate and develop things further.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you say, the short view and the long view is actually to create that pool and educate mm-hmm. people enough that we have the foundation there for future breeding stock. And it's a whole educational process as well, though, isn't it? And with the seminars, mm-hmm. with the classes, and with what you're all doing, I think that the ripple in the pond is really spread across the continent now, isn't it?
Yes, I couldn't be more pleased with how much input we're getting from people, how much interest they're showing. It's a very fascinating developing program, because it started out so small, and it's actually growing so fast. This year also, with we're moving, as I said, the championships to Fairhill on the East Coast and Galway Downs on the West Coast. Again, tied in with also where the YEH will be. And then we're going to offer a Born in America award this year for the top percentage horse that is actually born here, obviously. And eventually, we're working towards offering at the championships to maybe do an under saddle class for the three-year-olds. That's sort of one of our goals in the future that we're working towards. Once the program gets in the right place and we have enough venues to sort of create that system, I think that would be an important part of it. Since they're they would be very late 3 year olds, and to do just a basic walk, trot, canter 3 year old under saddle class, a lot of people have asked for that as well.
Have you seen any trends developing from this program in terms of breeding preferences, Susan? Any stallions of choice?
Well, there's always, of course, the stallions that, there's a lot of Irish stallions that are very popular. There's a lot of thoroughbred stallions, obviously. I can't say that there's any, particular ones at this point that I'd want to kind of throw out there, because we just have such a pool of them right now that we're trying to educate, that most of the time when we're judging these horses, people have to understand, when you're judging a horse in FEH, the judge does not know what the breeding is on the horse. You're never given the bloodlines ahead of time, obviously. So what we need to look at is the appearance of refining blood, because we know that in the upper level event horses, there is always that appearance. And so we don't know where it's coming from. You understand what I mean? What the stallion is. Sometimes you might see something and you kind of suspect, because you kind of know what that stallion produces. But there are so many different ways to create that kind of a triathletic look in a horse. So many mixes of blood, shall we say.
So do you get curious afterwards, though, Susan, and ask how it's bred at the end of the day when you're having your cocktails?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, we're always curious, especially, we see certain ones and sometimes it's interesting to make the guesses, and as I said, on the dressage side, it's very easy nowadays because the bloodlines, it's just a step further to look at a horse and go, you can almost guess what the breeding is. In eventing, because again, we don't have as strong a lines yet. We have such a diversity still. That's going to get better and better. In certain areas, you can kind of see if there's a stallion in the region. Yeah, sometimes you'll see a certain stallion's blood. But, there are so many wonderful ways to mix good blood. And, when people, they always talk about, well, I want thoroughbred, but there's English thoroughbred, and there's French thoroughbred, and there's American thoroughbred. There's a lot of different mixes to do. And there are certain lines that in the past, when you look at the eventing lists of top sires, you have to start educating to those things. And we are putting out those lists. We're trying to to direct people to where they can look at those kinds of things, and that would be on an international scale, of course.
Well, lots to look forward to with the Future Event Horse program, and I want to thank you very much for coming and sharing your insight today, Susan, and good luck with the program.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Chris.
And you can find out more about the Future Event Horse program on the website at useventing.com. I'm Chris Stafford, and I'll be back with more exclusive interviews right here on the USEA's official podcast channel. So do join me again. In the meantime, enjoy your eventing.